virtually. Last year's Story of Love by Email, starring Emilia Fox and David Tennant.
This is an automatically generated delivery status notification. The recipient can no longer receive mail.
Come on, Leo, it's been half a year. Hello? Hello? Huh, a reply. This is an automatically generated delivery... Oh, Leo, will this never stop?
We present Every Seventh Wave by Daniel Glattauer. Adapted for radio by Eileen Horn.
Good morning, Mr. Systems Manager. I'm going to be honest with you. This is an emergency. I need the email of Leo Leica, and I need it badly. I have three questions I urgently need to ask him. One, is he alive? Two, is he still in Boston? Three, is he involved in an email relationship with someone else? If one and two are yes, I can forgive him. But I could never forgive number three. I really would mind very much if he had fallen in love by email with another woman he had never set eyes on. Anything but that, please. This has to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Now go on, Mr. Systems Manager. Be a devil and pass on my message to Leo Leica. Tell him it's about time he got in touch.
This is an automatically generated delivery status notification. The recipient can no longer receive mail. All incoming mail will be deleted automatically.
Subject. Message for L. Leica. Hi, Leo. Are there new tenants in your flat? In case you are still in Boston, I thought I should warn you. Don't be surprised if you get a massive electricity bill for this last year. I happen to be passing, and I've noticed that they leave the lights on all night long. Yours sincerely, Emmy. Hello? Yoo-hoo! Mr. Systems Manager, where are you? Don't I get my notification? Should I be worried? Or can I be hopeful?
Dear Emmy, it is me using the electricity. I just got back from Boston. What I'd like to say, Emmy, is... well, everything I might think of saying sounds so banal. The best I can do for tonight is this. I hope you are at least twice as well as I am. Adieu. Leo.
So, Leo, you get back from Boston, usurp your nice systems manager, open Outlook, and oh, what do you know? There's an email from some woman called Emmy Rothner. The name is vaguely familiar. Ah, yes. Wasn't she the one you practically wrote into bed, like some kind of ace rat catcher of the cyber world? You very nearly had her, too. But then reason got the better of her and she never turned up. Many months go by, both the woman and the frustration are long forgotten, and then she gets in touch out of the blue. And all you can do is hope she's well. I am not impressed. But don't let it bother you, really. I don't want to be a burden. Yours, Emmy. P.S. Please send me your nice systems manager again. I think I prefer him.
I knew I shouldn't have written back, dear Emmy. You could never be a burden to me. You're a part of me. I carry you around with me, always, across all continents and emotional landscapes, living in my mind's eye as an illusion of perfection. That's how you existed for me in Boston, and that's how I've brought you back home with me. But, Emmy, in the meantime, my physical existence has moved on. I met someone in Boston. It's still early days, but we want to make a go of it. She's thinking about moving over, taking a job here. Emmy, on that dreadful night many months ago, when our first and last meeting failed, I cruelly broke off our virtual romance. It still doesn't have a future. Particularly not now, Emmy. Let's cherish what we had and not ruin it. Good night from me, Leo.
Subject. A fitting conclusion. Okay, I'll cherish what we had, my dear ex-email boyfriend, Leo. The thing about Cindy, I just bet she's called Cindy, is that you get the physical side. A real woman, not an illusion, is so much warmer. Am I right? I'll stop emailing, I promise. But do you mind if your dream girl asks for one last wish? I want 1 hour, face to face with you. I have to see you at least once in my life. I do agree that we have no future together, Leo, but there could be a fitting conclusion. That's all I'm asking.
Her name is not Cindy, it's Pamela. I know, it sounds pretty ghastly. But she doesn't look at all like a Pamela.
Dear Leo, I like you so much for that email. Please forgive my sniping. I'm off to bed now. Sleep well. Yours, Emmy.
Subject. All right then, let's meet. Yours, Leo.
I can do Saturday at 2 o'clock. I'll be sitting at a small table near the bar at the Café Hubert, scene of our last non-meeting. Try your best to identify me. Do you remember how you described your 3 candidates that day? It just so happens I still have that email. Emmy number 1 had short, dark hair, which has grown a fair amount since then, of course. She is fine-featured, temperamental, with a dignified arrogance about her. Emmy 2 was tall and blonde with large breasts. I'm sure you'll remember her. And Emmy 3 was brunette, and your impression was that she was shy, medium height, and melancholic. Yours, Emmy 1, 2, or 3.
Dear Emmy, you've made it easy for me. By giving yourself the most interesting characteristics, you have finally admitted you are Emmy number 1, which I'd presumed all along. As for me, well, I hope you're not going to be disappointed. I don't look particularly exciting. And I've got a cold.
It's far too late for damage limitation, Leo. See you soon. Oh, and welcome to the world of real-life encounters.
Subject, the morning after. Dear Emmy, was it so awful?
Why do you ask? You were there. You sat opposite your illusion of perfection for 67 minutes and smiled at her for at least 54 of them. There was a fair portion of embarrassment along the way, but it wasn't awful at all. And I hope your cold is better today. As I said, gargle with sage tea before you go to bed. Have a nice day, Emmy.
Dear Emmy, all day today, while nursing my cold, I've been deleting drafts of emails in which I'm trying to describe what I thought about our meeting. No matter what I write, it sounds cliche. Let me try it the other way round. I'll tell you what you thought when we met at last. I'd say you felt you were sitting with a stranger who claimed to be Leo Riker, but didn't offer any proof. You didn't find this stranger disagreeable. He didn't have bad breath, nor did his eyebrows twitch. He was easy to be with, if a little hoarse. But nothing about him touched you or reminded you of Leo the email writer. None of your expectations were fulfilled, dear Emmy. Am I right?
Dear Leo, okay, why don't I tell you how you felt when we met? Here goes. Dumbfounded. You barely let it show, but I know you just couldn't believe that I looked so different from how you had imagined me for so long. What a dreadful letdown to be confronted with the least interesting Emmy, the shy brunette, Emmy number 3. As for my impressions of you, I thought you weren't really there. You concealed yourself from me. Our meeting in 8 words, I was timid and you were closed up. Was that a disappointment? If I'm honest, yes. Our long correspondence had a little more substance. Emmy. P.S. Nice jacket, by the way. Blue suits you.
Emmy, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? Are you and Bernard still together?
Of course. Why do you ask?
Oh, you know, it's just a personal interest.
Ah, I see. Can I ask you something personal too, Leo? You said in the cafe that you were off to Paris for a few days. Is Pam going with you?
She's already there.
Oh. Well, happy landings.
Good night, Emmy. Subject. Last night. Dear you, I was thinking of you last night. I couldn't get to sleep. How are you? Love, Leo.
Well, well, Leo. What a surprise. After our brief encounter and a month of silence, I never thought you'd steel yourself to write me another email. Which Emmy are you writing to? Your illusion of perfection? Or the shy girl from the Café Hubert? Much love. Emmy.
I'm thinking of the Emmy who, with delicate fingertips, brushes imaginary strands of hair from her face every so often and curls them behind her ears as if she were trying to free her eyes from a veil, as if she wants to see things more sharply at last. And I ask myself whether this woman is happy in her life.
Dear Leo, if I were to get an email like that each day, I'd be the happiest woman in the world.
Thanks, Emmy. But I'm sorry to say that happiness is not made of emails. I'll look for you later. Love, Leo. Emmy, I can't sleep, and I may be... Correction, I am just a wee bit drunk. I wanted to tell you something. I wanted to tell you that there's a particular point on my left hand. Roughly in the middle is where the lifeline is crossed as it runs down to the artery. A point. When I look at it, the feeling makes me dizzy. It tingles. It warms me. It governs my pulse. Just one tiny little point. Thing is, Amy, in a certain cafe one day, something happened on my left palm where this point is. My hand was reaching for a glass of water, and another, softer hand came toward it at the same time. For a millisecond, the soft tip of a finger breezing past rested on the palm of my hand as it reached for the glass. There was a moment of contact. I have stored it away. I can feel you, Emmy. Sleep well.
Leo, that was so lovely. Where do you learn stuff like that? I recommend you close your fist around that point to keep it safe. Subject. Three whiskies. Dear Leo, my third whiskey wanted to know whether I am only attractive to you with a high claret to blood ratio. Given that with coffee and water only that day in the cafe, you seem to lack all interest in me physically. Do you know what I did to that third whiskey, Leo? I annihilated him. And now, I'm off to bed. Good night. Or rather, good morning now.
Dear Emmy, okay, there are a number of things that need an explanation, such as, why would you want me to be interested in you physically? What good would it do? And how's your marriage? And what do you now think about the circumstances that led up to our breakup? How could you forgive me? And how could you forgive Bernard? Have a nice day, Leo. P.S. Oh, and please tell your whiskey friend that I like you, with or without alcohol in my bloodstream. And you're stunning to look at.
Here are my answers to your questionnaire, in no particular order. Bernard, well, what can I say? I have nothing to reproach him for. It's no longer the great love it once was. But I still feel a great love and sense of protectiveness for his children. Do you understand?
Emmy, may I remind you that many of my questions remain unanswered? Yours, in anticipation, Leo.
Subject, more answers. Leo, I got in contact with you again because the man of many words slipped spinelessly and wordlessly out of my life. Our story was never concluded. Flight is never an ending, only a postponement. And here's where things get a little baffling. You asked me, how could I forgive Bernard? I don't understand this one. What could I possibly have had to forgive him for? You'll have to explain. Kisses, Emmy.
Dear Emmy, listen, I don't know how else to say this, and maybe it would be better if we meet to discuss it. Bernard knows about us, or at least he did. That's why I bowed out.
What? That's absurd, Leo. What is it that Bernard knows? And how do you know? I demand an explanation now.
Ask Bernard. He has to explain this, not me. How was I to know he never told you what he did? He read our emails, Emmy. All of them. And then he sent me an email himself. He asked me to meet you for one night and then leave you in peace with him and the children. After that, I took the job in Boston. That's it, in a nutshell. I would rather have told you all this face to face.
Is this supposed to be some kind of joke? It's not at all funny, Leo.
Dear Emmy, much too late, unforgivably late. I'm attaching here the email Bernard sent me a year ago, in which he confesses to reading our emails and makes his request for me to meet you once and go away. A request I couldn't ignore. Emmy? Hello, are you there? Oh, Emmy, I've lost you now, haven't I? Oh, God. I wish I could erase everything. Love, Leo. Okay, Emmy. I get it. I won't write anymore. Always. All my love. Your Leo.
Hi, Leo. Are you asleep?
Emmy, thank you. How are you? Tell me.
Can I come and see you? Right now?
Are you serious? It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes or no? Can I come over now?
Yes, but, Emmy, you can by any chance let me know what mood you're in, could you? This is one of the real deficits of email, as we know, and I just want to prepare myself.
You'll find out soon enough.
Subject, our Nadir. Dear Emmy, I don't imagine you're feeling any better today after that performance last night. Your tempestuous entrance, the abandonment of your shyness, and your exhilarating demand, which I could not deny. Then your calculated departure afterwards. You were trying to prove something, but what? We have never been so close and yet so far apart. That was our Nadia. Emmy, you're not some cool woman who can turn humiliation into victory like that. That isn't you. In the void after you left so abruptly, I wanted you back, Emmy, but most of all, I wanted words. If you have any feelings for me, please write back.
You're right. I don't feel any better today. I thought I would, but I don't. All I have proved is that I'm capable of physically cheating on Bernard and of punishing him. Leo, you cannot imagine what you two men have done to me. I feel sold down the river. My husband and my virtual lover made a pact behind my back, and daft little Emmy won't ever know a thing. I don't know what this means for me and Bernard yet, Leo, but I do know what it means for us. There is a 6-letter logical conclusion which has finally caught up with us, and it's down to me to spell it out. THEEND. The end. Subject. Me again. Dear Leo, I've just been speaking on the phone to my therapist. She says I shouldn't be surprised that you've not replied to my various emails in the last few months. She says I should ask you how you are doing, but nicely. So, how are things, Leo? Best possible wishes ever. Emmy.
Dear Emmy, tell me, when you say the end so definitively, as you did 16 weeks and 3 days ago, what do you actually mean? And why can't you stick to it? Best wishes back, Leo.
There are certain things I see quite differently today, and also my curiosity about you improves the air around here, in my tiny, empty, new flat with the silent piano and bare walls.
What? Have you moved out, Emmy? Have you and Bernard separated?
Yes. He's feeling contrite, trying to salvage what he can, while I try to identify if there is anything that can be salvaged. P.S. I'd love to hear how you are. Can't you tell me anything? Drop a few hints, at least.
Hint one, I've had a cold again. Hint two, I've only got 3 more weeks on my own. Hint three, Pamela, Pam, is coming. And staying.
Congratulations, Leo. And richly deserved. I'm referring to Pam, of course, not the recurring cold. Best regards, Emmy.
Hello, Emmy. You'll be asleep by now. I'm guessing it's 2 or 3 in the morning. Emmy, I've got something I need to say. Writing to you now, now that I've seen you, it's almost intolerable. Every syllable carries your gaze, and I really thought it was all over between us after that night you wrote the end. I wrote us off. Everything vanished. Nothing was left. I believed that. But I'd better stop writing now. The wine is strong. 15 nights to go, Emmy, then Pamela's here, and then my new life will start. And now, what the heck, I am going to send you a kiss. I can see your mouth. I can smell your hair. I can touch you now. And please excuse emails like this, I'm slightly drunk. Not very, so, full stop. Finish. Send. The end. Yours. Leo.
Dear Leo, your late night drunken outpourings are quite something. What a way to start my day. And apropos of the new life about to start soon, I have a query concerning our schedule for the next 2 weeks, which could well be our last. What shall we do? One, nothing, so that you can prepare for the arrival of Pam in peace. Two, keep writing to each other until the moment the plane lands from Boston. Three, or shall we meet one more time?
Dear Emmy, if I'm being honest, I somehow can't imagine that a final meeting would be a good idea. I think we ought to stick to writing.
You must be sober, unfortunately. P.S., just one more thing. What does Pamela know about us?
Nothing.
Leo, I hope you agree that nothing cannot be your whole answer. If you haven't told her, why not? I need to know your answer so I can go and share it with my therapist first thing tomorrow.
Dearest Emmy, I didn't tell Pamela anything about us in Boston because I considered us to be a closed matter at that time. And after Boston, I didn't tell her anything because I hadn't told her anything about us in Boston. I couldn't start in the middle. And I didn't tell her anything about us because she wouldn't have understood our strange story. I basically don't understand it myself.
Come on, Leo, of course you understand it. Well enough to keep it to yourself. But surely it's not a great idea to begin a relationship with a woman while carrying a strange secret story with someone else, Leo, my love. Am I right?
I don't know. I guess I feel the secret is safely hidden away.
Morning, Leo. I'm off out. I'm going to see my therapist, who will be fascinated by all this.
Hello, Emmy. We've wasted days in silence and time is running out. I assume your therapist suggested you stop writing. Are we going to see each other one more time?
Dear Leo, why now? If I've done my sums correctly, Leo, we only have 3 days left until Pam arrives. So why, Leo? What for? What would you get out of it?
Why? So I can see you one more time. What would I get out of it? A good feeling.
I'm delighted for you, Leo, but that would be the opposite of how I'd feel. I'm saturated with goodbyes, sick of goodbyes, damaged by goodbyes. Please, Leo, go away. I'd rather hear from your systems manager at this point.
Dear Emmy, I said one more time, not one last time. For me, saying goodbye to you means no longer thinking of you. Believe me, I'm nowhere near saying goodbye.
Great. What perfect landing conditions for Pamela.
Don't be sorry for Pamela. I've thought this through. You can't cheat with feelings alone, Emmy, my love. It's only when you openly act on feelings and thereby cause someone else to suffer that you've done something wrong.
What do you mean by acting on your feelings? We act on feelings by feeling them. And I was cheating on Bernard since long before I met you in person. But take some comfort, Leo. I've only fully understood this since I started therapy. P.S. Are we actually going to stop the day after tomorrow, or will we keep writing to each other? I mean, from time to time, when one of us feels like it. Could you do it, despite Pam? Yours, Emmy.
Dear Emmy, yes, let's. From time to time, if we feel like it. But never wait for an email from me, please. You see, I don't know how things will be after the day after tomorrow. But do write to me, Emmy, if you feel like it. And if I feel like it, I'll write back. For now, may I just say this? When I went off to Boston last year, I wanted the best for you. I'm so sorry. Love, Leo.
Leo, thank you for your apology. That was sweet. And welcome to our last day. Will you come and see me? Just answer yes or no. It's 24 Fielding Street, 3rd floor, flat 17. Yes or no?
Yes.
It'll be a short meeting. 5-10 minutes, let's say. I'd like to give you something. A souvenir. The handover won't take more than a few seconds, and then, Leo Laika, you'll be free to go. So come on, then.
I'm on my way. Subject. Signs of life. Hello, Emmy. You all right? It's been 2 weeks. I think about you often. And I think of your gift. Thank you for that. Leo.
Hi, Leo. Did you just feel like it then? The truth is, I don't feel all right enough to ask in return how you are. I don't want to know. I don't want you to be all right with Pam. Oh, by the way, is Pam by any chance a tall, slim, long-legged blonde beauty? About my age, 2 or 3 years younger, maybe? My accountant's office is around the corner from your place, and just as I happened to be passing your door the other day, one of those very tall, good-looking blonde women with pale makeup came out, looking like a mail-order model on a shoot for a winter collection. Tan shoes. American tan shoes. It must have been Pam. You can imagine my surprise. It's such a small world, don't you think? Best wishes, Emmy. P.S. Don't worry. My next meeting with my accountant isn't for another 6 months.
Dear Emmy, obviously I can't demand this, but I would ask politely for you to refrain from making any more purely coincidental accountant-related trips to my area. What good does it do? Best wishes, Leo.
Oh, chill out a little, Leo. So what if I pass by? So what if I recognise Pam? Wishing you many pleasant, undisturbed days ahead. I'm off on holiday now. Yours, Emmy. Subject, the seventh wave. Hello, Leo. I'm sitting on our balcony in Playa de Alojera on the island of La Gomera, looking out over the pebbly cove below. You can't imagine how beautiful it is here. And yes, I'm writing to you today because I feel like it. And because I don't want to wait on my own. I'm watching out for the seventh wave. The local people here talk about it in reverent tones. The first six of each series of waves are predictable, evenly spaced. Each determines the next. There are no surprises. But beware the seventh wave. For a long time it is inconspicuous, going along with the monotonous sequence. But then, sometimes, it breaks free, flows in another direction. It's only ever that one, the rebellious seventh wave. It is reckless, relentless, clearing everything in its path. And after it's gone, are things better or worse? I've been sitting here counting the waves for ages, but none of them has broken away yet. But I'm patient. I can wait. I'm not going to give up hope.
Hello, Emmy. Thanks for your by-the-sea mail. I miss you, Emmy. There are no waves here in London. I'm not waiting for anything, except an email from you.
Subject: A fresh start. Dear Leo, everything's fine, don't worry. I'm back home. Bernard and I are trying to move forward. We had a nice holiday together. We know what we mean to each other. We know it's not everything, but now we also know that it doesn't have to be everything. Bernard also knows I've been writing to you again, and that we've finally met. I've told him I want to remain friends with you. Online, at least. Correspondence. Okay? Love, Emmy. P.S. You've been living this new, calm life of yours for some time now, and you haven't told me a thing about it. A loyal pen friend has a right to know. Does Pam feel at home in your flat? Does she have granola for breakfast and eat cheeseburgers? How do you spend your evenings? Does she wear thongs or big Boston bloomers? How often do you have sex? How long does it take her to blow-dry her long blonde hair? Does she write you emails? Are you very much in love with her?
For breakfast, Pamela has Boston white coffee and bread with jam but without butter. We have sex all the time, Emmy. It's non-stop, I'm telling you. Which, incidentally, makes your question about what underwear she wears rather redundant. In fact, it's really quite hard to find time to write platonic emails to you, what with all this sex. And in our rare coital breaks, she blow-dries her knee-length flowing blonde hair, which takes at least half an hour. And now, I must get some work done. Have a nice afternoon, Emmy. Leo.
That was quite a good answer, Leo. It had a certain pizzazz. Have a nice afternoon yourself. P.S. You haven't told me if you're very much in love with her. Are you?
You're not going to get an answer out of me with these Emmy-ish interrogation methods, my dear. You never told me what exactly you concluded about your love for Bernard, salvageable or otherwise. And what does he feel about our continuing correspondence?
Please don't underestimate Bernard, Leo. He stopped thinking of you as a rival some time ago. We are conducting what you might call a partnership of convenience nowadays, however uninspiring that may sound.
I'm very happy for you, Emmy. And may I ask, shall we meet for a coffee sometime to discuss our new calm lives? If you feel like it, that is.
Are you free one day next week? Hello? Leo, are you still looking at your diary?
I made a big mistake last night. I told Pamela about you. I'll be in touch again as soon as I can. Don't wait to hear from me. Love, Leo.
Oh, Leo, why do you always do rational things at the most irrational times? Okay, I won't wait. 73 hours, 20 minutes and 48 seconds. And I'm still not waiting. Not at all. I'm not waiting. I'm emphatically not waiting. Subject: A whole bloody week of waiting. Dear Leo, I'm sick of not waiting. Now I'm waiting. Don't you want to write to me anymore? Or can't you write? Or aren't you allowed to write? Oh, Leo, you're making me deeply unhappy at the moment. Please, for God's sake, end this silence. Yours bitterly, Emmy. Hi, Leo. My therapist suggests that we meet to talk, to get what she calls closure. In anticipation of your immediate response, yours, Emmy.
Dear Emmy, please, just give me more time. Love, Leo.
Leo, it has now been 6 days, 3 hours and 43 minutes. I just wanted you to know that I'm not yet lost to you. Much love, Emmy. P.S. What exactly did you tell Pamela, about the two of us? Did you tell her any of the tricky bits? Like that you've fled to Boston to protect my marriage? That we've met offline? That we even had sex once?
Everything. The lot.
Are you crazy, Leo? Did you even tell her what I gave you as a souvenir? If not, why not?
No. Because if only one thing had to remain between you and me, it was that. My greatest and most beautiful secret.
Nicely put, Leo.
Please, Emmy, be patient with me. In a week's time, I'll tell you everything.
Subject, time's up. Tomorrow, your week will be up. So how is everything? Love, Emmy.
Subject, everything is over. Dear Emmy, Pamela and I have split up. She's flying to Boston on Monday, alone. That is everything.
That's quite a lot, I have to say. But it can't be everything. Do you want to meet? Have a shoulder to cry on? I can be there for you. I feel like being there for you. All my love, Emmy.
Subject. Point of contact. Dear Emmy, I'm sitting in a cafe around the corner from my sister's place as I write this. And I miss you. So, why did I tell Pamela, about us? I had to. I came to the point where I had no choice. It was your point that did it, Emmy. It's the place where you accidentally touched me on our first meeting, which is preserved for all eternity. Months later, at our notorious 5-minute encounter just before Pamela arrived, you gave me a souvenir. Did you have any idea what it would lead to? Shh, you whispered. Don't say anything, Leo. Not a word. You took my left hand, brought it up to your mouth, and kissed our point of contact. I've played this scene back hundreds of times, Emmy. I know it by heart. So, my left hand began to avoid Pamela's body, protecting its secret inside a clenched fist. And, of course, in the end, Pamela noticed. One evening, she made a grab for my unwilling left hand, trying to turn it into a game. But finally, I realised I wasn't going to be able to hide this anymore. Hide us. And I opened my fist. And the floodgates opened with it. And a wave broke free, changing everything.
Dearest Leo, I feel so sorry. I would so much like to embrace you right now and never let you go. You are so sweet and so unbelievably lacking in any talent for affairs of the heart. But I've got to calm myself now. I'm taking the kids out to a movie tonight. See you very soon, Emmy. P.S. In fact, how about next Thursday at 7:30 p.m., Ristorante Impressione, at a table for two in the corner, booked in the name of Rutherler.
Done.
Dear Leo, a question before you retire for the evening. Answer me this. After you kissed me so passionately on your doorstep tonight, did you want me to come up to the flat or not? I would have said yes. Really?
Really? Emmy, As it was an overwhelming evening. Sleep well, my love. I'm going to shut down now, close my eyes, and dream of you.
Sleep well, my sweet. Oh, I did just want to point out that you didn't once mention Bernard over dinner. Night-night, Emmy.
Good morning, my love. You didn't mention Bernard either last night, I noticed. And surely he's your concern, not mine. Or maybe that doesn't come into it now, as he knows all about us. I'm not entirely clear on how to interpret a partnership of convenience. Maybe the only way to preserve this feeling, this sense of riding that seventh wave, is if we refrain from talking or writing about it. Love, Leo.
Dear Leo, I know you don't want to write, but I've got a burning question. What do you want?
You.
But what do you mean by you? Do you mean you want to keep exchanging emails with this you? Or keep you as a special point of contact on your palm, adoring you, kissing you?
Everything you. And now I've got to ask you, would you divorce Bernard?
No.
All right then. Forget it.
Don't just say all right then, silly. Ask me why not.
It's up to me to ask you what I ask you. So, why wouldn't you get a divorce, for God's sake?
Because I'm already divorced. Since 11:33 a.m. on 17th of November last year. You may recall that unpleasant time. This was the period after I announced the end in big letters. That was when I moved out. And that's when Bernard and I finally drew the right conclusions. I was going to mention this to you, but then Pam got in the way. She was practically there on your infamous doorstep, and somehow I didn't think it would be good timing. Was I right?
Whoa, hang on, Emmy. You and Bernard went on holiday to the Canaries for that idyllic wave-watching holiday. And then you moved back in with him, I thought.
We came to a domestic arrangement for a common purpose. Namely, that I would come back home, temporarily, to look after the children while he was off on his concert tour. It also meant that I was no longer sitting in the Leo waiting room, staring at the computer screen in this little flat with the blank walls.
And now what?
And, deep breath. Now you can ask me whether I'd like to come over to your place.
Come over to my place. Please, Emmy, right now.
Subject. Mobile? Dear Leo, are you online? This feels funny. It's been ages since I had to email you. Just wondering, did I leave my mobile round at yours this morning? Could you have a look? There are three possibilities. One, dressing gown pocket. Two, black jeans in the wash basket. Three, on the chest of drawers in the hall. Maybe you can give it a call and see which one of these items ring. Kiss, Emmy.
Hello, darling. Yes, I've got your mobile here. The answer was number three, the chest of drawers. Lovely to find you in my inbox. Lovely to be writing back to you too. I feel nostalgic. I have to do this more often. See you tonight. And make sure you're hungry. I'm cooking up a feast. Till then, 1,000 kisses. All my love, Leo.
In Every Seventh Wave by Daniel Glattauer, David Tennant played Leo and Amelia Fox, Emmy. Every Seventh Wave was produced and directed by Clive Brill and was a Pacificus production for BBC Radio 4.